Hi there, welcome back to lesson three. Wait a second, you can't see me. You can only hear me. Well, that was designed on purpose. Though this is a video course, I really want to teach you about using your clairs, using your intuition, especially when you can't see what's right in front of you. That's basically what your intuition is. It's a sixth sense and an inner knowing that when you're looking at something, it very well might not make sense that you feel the way that you feel. You see, when you're watching me, you can see my mannerisms and my eyes and my voice and my gestures. And so as you're learning from watching this video or from watching the previous videos, you're sort of encompassing everything that I'm giving to you and you're soaking it all in. When I take the visual aid away and you're just hearing me and you're not seeing me, I remove one of your senses. Essentially, for your sixth sense to be heightened to the point that you're going to need it for survival, I'd like to remove all of the other five senses and leave you just with your intuition. Because it's with those five senses that your ego will come in and take over. You see, the truth is, when we watch the news, if the beautiful blonde woman with big blue eyes and a charming smile tells us that there's something devastating going on and says it in a pleasant, calm manner, we likely go, "Oh, it's fine. It's nothing. It's okay. We're good." Whereas when we see someone who may be looking a little bit frazzled themselves and not as calm and composed, and they give us that news, we immediately go, "Oh my God, five alarm fire, 911, everybody panic, what are we gonna do?" True or false? When someone like Vladimir Putin says something to us, we immediately get all of our hairs up on our back. Is it because of what he said, per se? Or is it because we understand and know the history of what we've seen him and witnessed him do? You see, you have the history of a man like Vladimir Putin. What you don't have is the history of someone who might be walking up to your doorstep. And you'll need to make a decision. Not with your eyes, not with your ears, not with your smell, not with those things. You're going to need to make your decision with your intuition, because that is what's going to keep you alive. It's the sixth sense that actually trumps all the other senses. It's the sense that I don't think you could survive without. I think you can survive without hearing. We know you can. I think you can survive without seeing. We know you can. I think you can survive without touch. I think you can survive without smell. We know you can. But I don't think that you can survive without your sixth sense. And so how important is that sixth sense when we're living in 2022, going through a pandemic, going through a war, going through the crises in the places that we are right now? In my opinion, removing the external things, the other five senses, can only do one thing, and that's heighten your sixth sense. Which is often why, as children, we have the strongest sixth sense of them all. Because we don't have that narrowed in vision. We might not be picking up on what someone's wearing or what they smell like. We listen to our imagination, which is where our intuition lives. So we thrive inside this sense, especially if we're children that come from trauma. We talked about that in the last lesson. In this lesson, I want to cover 10 ways that intuition can and will save your life. You need to know these things because they're important. You need to know them because they're the things that are going to keep you safe in a world when everything around you might be questionable. So let's get started. But wait, before we get started, I want you to remember there's a reason why you're not seeing me. You're hearing me. So I want you to put yourself into a place where you're not listening to this with chaos around you. You're not listening to this sitting in a chair that you feel uncomfortable. You're not listening to this lesson being distracted by hearing other things. I want you to really hear this so that you can use your intuition to resonate with what is for you and what is not for you. So, number one. Using your intuition for when to fight or flight is a number one survival tool to save your life. You need to know And if someone is walking up your step, you need to be able to make that decision about your intuition and whether you need to fight or flight before they even get to the door. Because your intuition needs to be so zeroed in that by feeling the energy of that person, you can decide, I need to go or I need to stay. Here's where we fail. This is where our eyes come in. If you see a man walking up to your door in a suit and tie, and he's got short hair and he's white and he's all put together, your first thought might be, well, it's a Jehovah's Witness. Or your second thought might be, well, he must be selling me something. Or a businessman has come to the door. Maybe he's an undercover police officer. However, if you see a man coming up to your door and he's a man of color and his pants are hanging off his, you know, his butt and he's got big heavy chains on and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, or maybe he isn't a man of color, maybe he's a white man and his clothes are ripped dull and he looks bummy and like he hasn't been clean and he's kind of, you know, got scruffy hair on his chin. The thing is, the problem with your vision is that the man in the suit and the tie, you immediately think that you should trust. And the man that comes up with the ripped clothes or the man of color, you immediately stereotype and think, it's a bad person. That's a problem. That's a big problem. And that's what needs to change right away in your intuition. The reason why that needs to change is because stereotyping people have nothing to do with when you should fight or flight. That's all stuff that's been programmed into us. Intuitively knowing whether someone is good or bad comes from a feeling that you'll sense inside of you. It's a feeling that doesn't make any sense. And that's what you need to really hear and understand in this program. Your intuition that tells you get out or open the door or run or stay is in a split second. And unfortunately, so many people have said to me over the years, I knew I should have run and I didn't. I knew I should have stayed still and I didn't. And it happens within 30 seconds. If you're in the middle of a crisis, you better know that taking care of your home and your family are going to be your responsibility. You better know who you're letting into your home. You better know who you're following. You better know what you're doing, and it better align with your morals and with your truth. Fight or flight, stay and hold down the turf and defend my territory because I think I can be okay, or flight out of this situation and leave is got to be a choice that you feel in the inner depths of your soul. And whatever one that you choose must be one that you commit to. You're not flighting looking back going, am I okay? If you decide to go, go. And when fight or flight comes in, you may be in a situation, let's say that the internet crashed, or let's say there was a massive tornado. You have to make a decision. Am I going to be safe in this house or am I not going to be safe in this house? I've heard some crazy stories of people say to me, you know, everything that I've read, everything that I've researched has told me that, you know, if there's a tornado coming, get into the basement. But I intuitively felt like I needed to run outside and get into the culvert, into the ditch. Our house was completely and utterly toppled. I wouldn't have survived, even in the basement. But you know what? I live through the culvert in the ditch. It's about trusting and knowing where you are and why you're there. Listen, there are some things that I've told my students I can teach them. But the hardest thing to teach someone is teaching them to listen to that voice. You know the voice you're listening to right now? The one you can't see? The one that's not in front of you. You have to make a decision. And when you make that decision, it will come very quickly in the moment of crisis. a lot of people that I know have started to make decisions about prepping. They've made choices to put more food in their pantries, to be prepared in the event that something should happen in the world. Do I think that's a good idea? Yes, I think it's a really good idea. And not because I feel like something might happen tomorrow, because I feel like we've been doing that, some of us, since the beginning of time, preparing for winter months, preparing for summer months, preparing for floods, preparing for anything. That's when you listen to your fight or flight. It's a decision that is made about what's best for you. And that choice or decision shouldn't be that you have to make for any other adults. One person's intuition isn't better than anybody else's. So if your neighbors don't think that they need to jump out and jump into the culvert, then it's not your job to convince them. The second thing that's going to keep you alive and save your life is knowing who to trust and not to trust. Going back to the man coming in the suit and the man coming up in the ripped jeans. Who do I trust and who do I not trust? I think this was always very easy for me because I grew up in trauma and with a father who was an alcoholic and who had some friends who, nope, I sure didn't trust. I trusted those feelings because that's what kept me safe. And my mom was always a very good read on people. She would tell me right away, and I would always call her a snob. I would say, "Mom, that's not kind." And she'd say, "That person, they're this." And I say, "Oh my gosh, Mom, you can't judge people like that." And she'd say, "Yes, I can." And she was funny because for a long time, I thought she was judging people based on their appearance. But then I started to see a pattern. Guess what it was? There wasn't one. It didn't matter what they look like. It didn't matter how much money they had. It didn't matter what they drove. It didn't matter what they said. She wasn't just choosing conservative people. She was choosing people based on her intuition, on a feeling that she got about them. Lots of times I have let, this is where I have failed. I have let people into my business, into my home, into my friendship, because my ego so badly wanted a friend, or my ego so badly wanted a solution. You know, business owners often do this. We'll search for solutions from people. And when we get that solution, we think, oh, this is perfect. I don't have to deal with this anymore. Finally. But we waver and we pull away from our intuition, even though we know it's screaming so loudly. Don't hire this person. Don't do it. Don't do it. I remember having an interview with someone and sitting down and doing an interview for my company. And I felt good about this person. I was like, yeah, I feel like this is maybe someone who I'd want to hire. And when after I hired them and I showed up on Monday, the person's energy has totally changed. They dyed their hair. It was just like a totally different person I was walking into. In fact, I walked by them and I asked Tamara, who is that? I didn't even recognize their energy. How can someone change so drastically in a matter of 3 or 4 days? They did. And the worst thing is, I did nothing about it. Because my ego told me I felt bad, I didn't want to let them go, I should give them a chance. Nah, that's not how business works. And that's not how survival works. If you feel like the person walking up to your front door is good, no matter what they're wearing or who they are or what they're doing or how they walk, then you should trust. And if you feel, and I keep saying a feeling because oftentimes your intuition is a feeling, it'll be goosebumps, it'll be a gut feeling, it'll be a thought that comes into your brain that interrupts the other thought, it'll be a chill, it'll be a rattle or a skipped heartbeat, it'll be a clenching in your jaw, it'll be something you'll feel physically or mentally or emotionally or spiritually. You know what it is because you felt it before. It's that thing when you're driving home that is like, I should go home and shut the oven off. It's that thing when you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, I think I smell smoke. But everyone around you doesn't. And yet there it is. There's a fire in your house. It's that thing that keeps you safe. And the more you listen to it, the stronger and the stronger it will get. Number three, using your intuition for what to eat. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, yeah, I went for an allergy test, so I know that I'm allergic to this. You probably knew you were allergic to something long before you even got allergy tested for it. You suspected it because your body told you and your intuition told you. You see, I don't get violently ill and I don't break out into hives when I eat almonds or peanuts, but I know that I'm mildly allergic to them. I know that. I can feel it. I know that I'm allergic to watermelon. It's not normal for fruit to make the inside of your mouth itchy. And even before that, I always kind of had this like even as a kid, I wouldn't say that I did not like it. I just was like, it was never my first choice. It was never something that I wanted to try to eat or to experience. Your intuition is telling you. You think it's your feelings telling you that you don't want to eat the watermelon. No, it's your intuition saying, don't eat the watermelon. You're allergic. It's the same thing with, you know, fabric. It's the same thing for food. All food. All food. Please do not make a child eat something that the child says, I just don't want to eat that. It's just not my thing. You know, picky eaters, I believe, are picky eaters for a reason. Intuitively, they know that's not good for me. How do we know that tuna is good for everybody? How do we know that beef is good for everybody? How do we know that Caesar salad is good for everybody? We don't know. You don't know. Maybe there's some chemical in the romaine lettuce that the five-year-old's intuition is like, nah, I have too much in my system right now. Knowing and trusting your intuition for what to eat and when to eat. If we lived in our intuition and we ate when we intuitively knew that we needed to be refueled, well, that would be a game changer. And the truth is that we would probably spend a lot of time intermittent fasting. Because if you ate when your intuition told you to eat, you wouldn't be eating from your emotions. You wouldn't be eating out of hunger. You would be eating when intuitively your body said, we need to refuel at this time. The next one, using your intuition for survival with what medication to take. Listen, in a survival situation, you may not have access to Advil and Tylenol and penicillin. There's all kinds of medicine in the earth. What medicine do you need? Where, why, and how? I encourage you to take as many online courses and read as many books as you can about nature and the healing medicine that we already have around us. But it's more than that. Just because Mother Nature says willow bark will calm your stomach, will it calm your stomach? Back to using your intuition. You know, my grandmother used to have us go down to the beach with our wagons. We would walk the long road down to my grandma's beach, and she would have us bring a wagon, and she would have us bring buckets of salt water back from the beach. And my mom and other siblings would laugh and say, you know, Mom, we can just put Epsom salt in your water. And she'd say, no, it has to be the ocean. She trusted Mother Nature, and she wasn't well enough at that time to be able to get down over the rocks and down to the beach. And we loved to do it. We did it with joy to bring her back that water and to see her put her feet in there on a hot summer day and to see her smell the ocean and to feel the ocean. Our soul tells us when we need to be somewhere. You know, amidst the last few years and the pandemic and everything going on, my soul very strongly this year continues to tell me that it's time for myself to go home to my grandma's beach. There's healing there for me. There's medicine. You know, medicine is not out of a bottle. Medicine can be a prayer. Medicine can be a smudge. Medicine can be the ocean. Medicine can be the trees. Medicine can be the sun, and medicine can be a hug from a friend. Use your intuition to know the medicine that you need to take and when you need to take it. The next one, number five, is intuition of the land's energy. Let's say that you have to leave for whatever reason. You are in a survival mode and you cannot be in the house that you're in. How do you know where to go? Your intuition is going to be the one to tell you, not your logic. You see, your logic will tell you, go to a family, your friend's house. Your logic might tell you to go to some place that it's warm. Your logic might tell you, you know, to go east because there's more gas there. Logically is never gonna help you survive. Logic didn't get us here, and logic isn't gonna get us out of here. But your intuition and feeling the energy and the vibration of the land. You know, the First Nations people who were here first, they set their camps up based around not just like, oh yeah, this looks nice. They set their camps up based on the wind, the air, the feeling, the vibration of the land, the energy of who'd been there before, the energy of the earth that was speaking to them. They always say they listen to Creator speak. You can feel Creator speak. You can feel the energy of that. You have to be willing to tune into it. And when you use your intuition to feel the land's energy, that's when you can truly trust the place that you're in. Am I safe here? You look at all the people in the Ukraine and how they, some stayed and some left. Trusting their intuition to know where they need to be. I need to be in Poland. This is where I need to go. This is the safest place for me. Some saying, no, I'll stay. I need to be here. And some having deep regrets for not listening to what their intuition told them and instead listening to their ego. The next one is intuition for the weather, and this is a big one. I'm a weather migraine sufferer. I get vertigo, I get dizzy, I get migraines, all based around the pressure and the weather. I had them in my 20s mildly. I started to get them a little bit more in my 30s, but really started to come on when I turned 40. So it's been about 10 or 11 years now. It is the only trigger that I have is weather. That's it. I know. I wish it was chocolate. I wish it was something else because you could just stop eating chocolate. I mean, you could just stop doing whatever caused it. I can't stop the weather. And I got really frustrated and I was in with the neurologist and I was like, I don't know how to fix this then. And the thing is there are things that they can give you for weather migraines. There's medication, but I don't like to take medication if I don't have to from a pill bottle. And if I do, then I want it to be a temporary medication, not something that you have to take ongoing. And they can give Botox. And so we talked about that and he said, I can give you Botox, which will stop the migraine pain, but it won't stop the vertigo and it won't stop the dizziness. And I thought, well, that's not very good because the vertigo tells me when the migraine's coming on. It's a trigger. It's a warning thing. So as soon as it starts to snow or storm or wind is really bad for vertigo, as soon as those things start to happen, I know, okay, I'll have some Advil and some Tylenol ready. I'll make myself a tea. I'll start to get a massage from my daughter. I'll have a warm bath. I'll sort of go through the procedure because I know what's coming. If you take away something that's coming, how do you know? How do you know? You don't. And so I came to peace with weather migraines, and I have come to understand that the weather is just as much about our survival as anything else. I can tell many times when the horses are going to have babies early because of blizzards or storms that are coming in and pressure shifts, because horses also pick up on the weather. I can tell when we need to put extra blankets on. The weather, the kids will say, Mom, it's not going to storm. And I will say, yes, in about an hour or two, it's going to rain. Everyone do what I say right now. And it only took a little bit. Now they're like, okay, I listen to Mom. Because I know when those things are going to happen. You don't have to have weather migraines to know. You can use your intuition and you can follow the pattern of the birds. You can use your intuition and look up into the sky. Look up to the very, very top of the trees and tell me what the aura of the tree says. Auras are around everything here on Mother Earth. If the tree's aura changes color, you'll know when there's a storm coming. You can feel it in the air. And I know you might have said this before, I smell rain. That's your intuition. Yes, you're smelling it, but you're intuitively feeling it. We smell snow or we feel snow. Feels like it's going to snow today. Yep, it's a feeling. And weather survival is so important for us. And it's one of the things that is going to be key to keeping us alive in survival situations. What's going to happen as we move through this very devastating time in Ukraine? There's so many people that are afraid. We have a world, not a world leader, but we have a president of a very large country that's threatening a nuclear war. And so what we're seeing happen here, what we're witnessing happen, is this fear that we feel. Massive amounts of fear across the globe, and anger. And as those things flow out into the world, it's going to affect our weather. You know, people like to think, oh, this storm came out of nowhere. No, it didn't. This storm has been brewing energetically for months now. The hurricane didn't just create out of thin air. It's an energetic vibration that the humans, the animals, the plants, nature, it's this swirling ball of energy that's giving off this vibration. Understanding weather, not just looking on your phone to read an app, feeling weather, feeling energy. If you get a tornado warning and you look down on your phone, you should intuitively be able to know whether that's going to come to you or not. We always have the wind come from a certain direction on our farm. Always, every day, the wind blows. But when the wind comes from different direction on our farm, I know immediately something is wrong. And I will text all my kids and say, the wind's coming this way. Everyone needs to be alert. And I know that might sound crazy to you, but when I say be alert, I'm alerting for weather. I'm alerting that spirit might be trying to tell me that something's about to happen to our family. Spirit might be telling me that something's about to happen in the world. Spirit might be telling me that something is about to happen to the animals. When the wind blows in that direction, I am very aware of it because it happens very rarely. And so everyone is told the wind is coming from this direction because that's how I trust my intuition, emphatically, without any question at all whatsoever. Number 7, intuition for who to learn from. As you're going through and as we're starting to really talk about survival and needing our intuition to survive, there are people that you're going to need to learn from. Listen, I can't teach you about prepping because I don't know everything myself, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm signed up to some online courses. I'm following some people on Instagram. I am paying attention. How many years does rice last? How many years does flour last? How many cans of beans do I need per family member? Those are things I'm talking about and thinking about. But who do I learn from? Well, going back to who do you trust and who do you not trust? There are certain people that I have to learn from when it comes to prepping, and there are certain people that I don't want to learn from. It'll be the same thing if we're in a different time, in a different place. You have to think about who do I want to teach me how to survive? You know, the drill sergeant, he might look good and people might think, oh my gosh, I got this like drill sergeant and he's like been in the military and he survived this and he survived that and he's been prepping for this long. And then you might have this sweet, kind little crystal witch in her cabin, which is who I learned from, who is making tinctures and canning foods. And, you know, she might not know how to fire off an AK-47, but she knows how to survive in many other ways, and that doesn't mean that she doesn't know how to handle a good handgun. And I never thought I'd be having this conversation in a course before, but that's the truth. Intuitively decide who you want to learn from when it comes to survival and the meat and bones of it. Not intuition, but when it comes to how much food will I need? How will I stay warm? What's the best way to filter water? You have to know intuitively who you want to learn from, because that person is teaching you how to survive in a crisis situation. And if you trust everything they say because of what it looks like, then that's not the place that you want to be. And unfortunately, this is where we are now in 2022. The norm is when we want to know something, we Google it. And the first thing that comes up on Google, we read that and we go, yep, that's the truth. That's how things like QAnon, and I apologize if you believe in that, but please, 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 please trust your intuition. That's how these things get crazily twisted and warped and shifted and swooned out of direction. That's how we're here. We just got so freaking far away from the middle. We trusted social media and these sites that are being created by people who have no knowledge about these things. We moved so far away from the center that we lost our core. That's a problem. So you have to know who to learn from, and don't go to the first person on the Google search. Look at them or close your eyes and hear them. And close your eyes and close your ears and feel them. And then make a decision based on what you get in your gut, which is in your intuition. Number 8 is who to listen to. Leaders and politicians. I know everyone has their own thoughts and feelings on world leaders right now, so this may be a hot topic or a controversial topic for you. I trust my intuition. And when I feel a darkness in people, I move away from them. When I feel a darkness in them, there is not a leader. I'm trying to figure out how to say this so I don't create too much controversy. Prior to Mr. Donald Trump being the president of the United States of America and him being on his own TV show or happening to see him in the news, there's a darkness that I've always felt that has lived within that man. I'm not telling you that I think that, you know, President Biden was the best option or was the option that I would have chosen. But you cannot vote for someone who has darkness in them. It is morally, ethically wrong to care more about what is in your bank account than to care about the people in the world. I struggle with that. I am not someone who is, I'm very proud to be a Canadian and I'm very proud of many parts of things that Canada's done, but I'm also very ashamed of what Canada's done in certain aspects as well. I just have a belief that goes back to a very First Nations or Romani Gypsy belief that is very much like, we don't own the land. God owns the land. You're living on it. You don't even own your house. The truth is you pay for it, but if the government comes along and says, we want that, at the end of the day, you don't have a choice. Sure, you're going to be bought out, but it doesn't matter how much you want it. They can always take it from you. You don't own the land. You live on the land. Human beings are human beings. There's this new show out called Bridgerton. It's on Netflix. You know why I love it? Because it does not matter what race or what color or with what ethnicity. They're just people. Just people living in this world as human beings. Different and the same. That's my world. That's the world that I want to exist in. The world of human beings. The world where we don't build walls. And I'm sorry if this is getting political for you. And it's hard for me because spiritually, people and human beings deserve love, and leaders and politics. Listen, I think there's a certain level of bullshitter that you kind of have to be a politician. Maybe the best narcissist wins. I don't know. I don't know everything about that. But what I do know is that you cannot vote a man with darkness in. AKA Vladimir Putin, AKA Donald Trump. You cannot vote for darkness. And so what I said to my son is, I didn't believe that Donald Trump had darkness when he started to run a country. He had darkness in him that I felt long before. And I can watch someone on television and feel whether that person is generally good or whether there is a darkness inside of them. Because if everybody was good, if everybody that came here was good, what would we learn? Nothing. So some of these bad players have darkness in them. And you have to know who they are. And you have to be able to move away from them. You have to move towards a light energy and a vibration of love. That doesn't mean a politician is going to be perfect. But for God's sake, we cannot vote for darkness. So know who you're going to trust and who your leader is going to be. Who do you want to lead us? Who do you want to take care of us in a time of crisis? Now, I've often said this with the Ukraine. I would rather take a chance at dying knowing that I had done the right thing than selfishly live knowing that I had done the wrong thing, because there's a karma that comes from that. There is a karma that comes with doing the wrong thing to stay alive. What do you think the rest of our lives are going to be like? You think that there's no karma, there's no debt to be paid? Of course there is. We're still paying debts for slavery. We're still paying debts for residential schools. Of course we are. That's how karma works, times three. The next one is intuition for shelter and safety. Shelter and safety is the best thing for me to do to stay in my home, is the best thing for me to do to get a camper, is the best thing for me to do to build a hut, is the best thing for me to do to put up a wall tent. Where's the shelter and the safety? And what shelter and safety is the best for me or for my family? Every person's situation is going to be individual to them and to their needs, based on their age, based on their physical needs, based on where they live, based on what's around them. You have to go with the shelter and safety that matches your vibration, your energy, and your intuition. And by doing so, that allows you to make the best choice to keep yourself safe. You'll feel it. It's like how you smell rain and how you know rain is coming. It's like, yeah, this would be the best. I feel safe here. I feel good. I moved sometimes in my life one or two times a year. I would move several times. I never felt safe in my 20s and my 30s. Why didn't I feel safe? Well, I was surrounding myself with very toxic people. And I couldn't relate it to the fact that the person was toxic. I just kept relating it to the space. But some of those spaces energetically didn't feel safe either. So I would move all the time. And it's funny that since I am in the home that I'm in now, I feel very safe. But does that mean that I'll be here forever? I'll know when the energy shifts. I'll know when it is time to move. I'll know when things change. Just like I smell the rain, just like I know when to fight or flight, just when I know when to make those choices and decisions, you will do the same. You already are getting the energy. You're saying, Karma, how am I going to know? You will know. You will know like the sky is blue, like the grass is green. The question is not whether you will get the message, because I know that Spirit will give it to you, because I'm not special. Nobody waved their magic wand over me and said, I think we'll have Karma survive and we'll give her a really strong sixth sense. We won't give it to anybody else. You will know. It's, will you listen? That's the problem. That is the problem. It's not whether you're going to receive this message from Spirit or not, because I promise you, the moment you look out the window and you see someone coming up to your property, you will know, boom, just like that. The moment that you meet someone and you're around them, even if you don't speak to them and you look at them, boom, you know just like that whether they're for you or not for you. The moment that you walk into a space, you know if you're supposed to be there or not. I walked into homes that were so beautiful and went, I can't be here. I can't be here. This is not the space for me to be in. I don't want to be here. There's bad energy here. There's something that's not right here. Intuition for your family. You know, that's our final survival tip for your intuition can and will save your life, is teaching your children and your parents and your siblings how to know what is their intuition and how to know what is their ego. Remember, we talked about that in lesson two, what's ego and what's spirit, and listening to spirit, listening to creator, listening to the thing that says, this doesn't make any freaking sense. I don't know why I didn't like him. I remember saying to my mom, there was a friend that I had, she had come to visit me. And I had two friends, and one she liked and one she didn't. And she said, this is not a good person. And I remember saying, Mom, you are so out to left field here. You are like you've lost it. Like, mom, I don't even know how you could think that. This person is kind and caring and loving and attentive. And my mom said, that person is poison and they will hurt you. And they are not who they present themselves to you to be. And you know what? She was right in the end. That person not only hurt me, but hurt my daughter, and then went on to hurt with a lot of other words and backlash for nothing other than, you know, this person was just not a good person. And she knew it, and I couldn't see it because I didn't want to see it. And many times that's when we don't listen to our intuition, because it doesn't serve our ego. Your intuition is the thing that will cost you more money. It's the thing that will move you away from someone who maybe is fun. It's the thing that will have you relieve a relationship that you thought was good enough. Your intuition is the thing that makes you comfortable. Your spirit is the thing that keeps you alive. So I want to wrap up with this. Teaching your intuition and using your intuition to help yourself and others is what will keep you alive. But if you're just using your intuition just to get by, you're not really living. You don't have to just survive when you're in survival mode. You can thrive. Go back to the Swiss Family Robinson. Go back to Little House on the Prairie. Go back to those times where they didn't have internet. They didn't have power. They didn't have gas. They didn't have those things. They had happiness, they had joy, they had each other. And they lived a life that was aligned with Creator, that was aligned with love. I'm not saying that that meant that everybody was perfect. But if you want my opinion, we've gotten just a little bit too big for our britches. And our technology has superseded our intuition. Unfortunately, when this happens, we leave our spirits behind and we begin to lead a life that is ego-based. When you do that, you live a life that can be lonely, but comfortable. So when you think about survival, there's no question. Every single person that's listening to this right now, you are getting that message. Stay, fight, flight, don't eat this, eat this, sell this, keep this. You're getting it. The question is, are you listening? And if you don't think you're getting it loud enough, then I invite you to start a daily practice of meditation. Get up every morning, light a candle, get still and quiet for 5 to 10 minutes, and ask to hear the voice of your Creator, your spirit, your guides, and your angels. When you get quiet, I think it is then and only then that you'll finally begin to hear what's always been with you since the day that you were born. I look forward to connecting with you and seeing you in the next lesson.